You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh,
how are you? How are you, Brandon? I'll say it three times, three different ways, because I want to know how you are after the worst game week of all time. are you shaking it off? I was annoyed like everybody, but I wasn't like mad. It was just so ridiculous. At some point, like the ridiculousness gets so bad that you're like, okay, whatever. Like it's hard to stay mad when it gets that ridiculous.
Yeah, because at that point, who's at fault? Is it the game or is it you who is staying with the game for low yeah. these many seasons? You know, yeah, it takes two to tango.
Who's the sucker?
Josh,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it feels more and more like week to week we're war correspondents on Always Cheating, and we're coming to you from the battlefield, and sort of like behind us is all of this insanity happening, and we're trying to make sense of it for our audience. And
yeah,
really, it's kind of like you gotta be here to understand what's going on in FPL right now.
Yeah, I was trying to think, is it always this way? And is it every season that we do this? And then we're like, it's never been this chaotic. It's, you know, and then, but actually every single season it's like this and we just somehow forget. And it's because we trick ourselves that we keep playing, you know, mm-hmm. But I don't think so. I think that typically you have some good solid weeks, and like every 6 weeks or so, you get a real stinker where mm-hmm. things just don't go great. But I feel like what we've had are some like proper catastrophes this season, some like real, like virtually nobody blanks in your entire team level catastrophes. And that feels a little more unique. Like I would say Haaland blanking at home to Bournemouth and Salah blanking away to Luton Town, those are surprising and pretty unusual. They're not impossible. No one is ever 100% to score or assist or anything like that, right? So I don't want to make it sound like this is, you know, a statistical impossibility or something like that, but it is very unlikely. And I think Haaland getting subbed at halftime, I suppose all of us who kept in Haaland like completely got away with one, right? Because I don't know about you, but I was assuming Salah was going to score. I don't know, like once Haaland went off at halftime, I was like, well, Salah's going to score six goals with like four assists. It's going to be a 10 goal match. I did not have scraping out a 1-1 draw in the 91st minute on my, you know, list of possibilities for that match. It was very, very unusual weekend. Very surprising. I will say, you know, to look at the positive here, you did make a good transfer. You made a nice, sensible, solid transfer. I know you only got 5 points from it, but compared to what I did, compared to what many other people did, I feel like you came off, you know, pretty good.
Oh yeah. I think it's commensurate with what everyone's feeling this week that my net positive transfer was Mark Gahey in for 5 points, and I brought him in for Udogi. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves, though, because we're recording Sunday evening. Udogi could have some miracle approach to match fitness and come in for a 20-pointer against Chelsea.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It wouldn't. But I know you brought in Matty Cash. I thought I was making the
mm-hmm. sober safe play. I was like, Porta was the player I was leaning towards if I was going to make a move at all. And I think I was always kind of going to make a move because I was just a little worried about once Char was an injury doubt. I felt like because then it's like I have Char, Van Heck, and then a confirmed injured to Stupinan, and I was like, well, I have a free transfer, and there's a chance I only have two defenders starting this week. I felt like I had to make a move. And then I was thinking about Forrest, and I was like, well, I don't know if A1E is going to be back yet. I don't think he is. And Chris Wood is out as well. And so I was like, well, I, you know, and Villa have been, you know, defending pretty well this season. And so I was like, well, you know, a Forest match without any real forward with Villa and, you know, good form. It just felt like I was making like a really sensible move. And they play Fulham next week. I think they play Bournemouth the week after that. And then they concede like within the 5 minutes into the match. And then he gets pulled at the 58th minute. And then the real kicker, the real annoying thing for me was the Shar thing, because I was like, typically I would start Shar over Byrne because Shar is occasionally on free kicks, tends to get more bonus points. And I was like, he's more handsome. They're both, you know, Byrne is handsome in his own 7 foot.
I'm not a Byrne hater over here, but I'm just
If you're comparing,
if we're on The Bachelor, Shar's going a little farther. No offense to Byrne.
I think you're right. He's probably going an extra round or two. That's fair. I started Byrne over Shar for safety because I was like, well, just in case Shar doesn't feel up for it or isn't feeling well, gets subbed off at halftime. I don't know. You know, who knows, sure, right? Yeah. Or maybe he's not quite healthy enough to start, but then he comes on and 10 minutes left to Shar up.
Samika style.
You know, I was going to say Shar up the game, but then I said Shar up the game. I was like, really? I got Shar in the brain. So I started Burn over Shar, and then Shar plays the entire match, gets a clean sheet, and Burn gets subbed at halftime. And then I had Flecken as well. Flecken concedes a second goal right before the half, and then he gets subbed at halftime as well. So it's just zeros and ones all across the board. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I would be feeling more annoyed about it. I maybe there's a couple reasons why I'm not. One is I think I'm on literally 17 points right now, I think, with just Son to go. So it's going to be one of the worst game weeks I've ever had, unless Son just like absolutely goes off tomorrow. I have had two really good weeks. I'm up 2 million spots from those two good weeks. I've only gone back 600,000 spots from today's matches. So I'm still a net up for, on the last international break. And it's just, you know, so, and also we've got this UK trip coming up. And so I'm looking forward, not backwards, Brandon. I'm keeping my eye on the good stuff. And the bad stuff, I'm just trying to like, just brush it behind me.
That's been my feeling the last month, where I've just kind of been dropping in overall rank, is it can't all be forward progress. Even the people who have the best of seasons, you're always going to two steps forward, one step back, you know, the best of seasons, four or five, one step back. There's always a step back. And in the bad seasons, there will be many steps back, and they are what they are. All we can do is look at the next game week. I think the problem that we're experiencing this season is there are so few signals or directions of where we should be going for the next week to correct.
Yeah.
Because there is just this level of chaos, and the Haaland and Salah blanks this week just speak more to that. Like, usually we're used to, all right, Haaland blank. This was kind of a disaster match for him. Yeah. Then it will balance out by Salah having a monster game week. And the fact that no one can be counted on. Ollie Watkins, who was the favorite, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Hottest forward in the Premier League. Yeah.
Alvarez. None of that. Like, and I'm excited for this Chelsea Spurs match on Monday, because it kind of is auguring well for Spurs being the fantasy team. It's sort of like I feel like maybe in this parish, we've been trying to resist the fact that Spurs are that sort of like bellwether this season.
Well, you more than me, you had your famous farewell match a couple of weeks ago.
I did, and that's fair. Yeah. I accept that.
So now this is your welcome back, guys, match.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back, Cotter. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It could be. We'll see. I mean, I wonder going into the next game week, what is knee-jerk? This is the problem I want to solve in my own brain. So I've had two catastrophic game weeks in a row. Everyone, I think, now is in the same catastrophe boat coming out of game week 11.
Yeah,
we're all going to have to reckon with the idea of knee-jerk. Right? Like, do we need to explain the concept of knee jerk to everybody listening? I think they get it. Like, I've had a bad game week, therefore I'm going to rip up my team. I'm going to take transfer hits.
I feel like the short version of it is just like, I can't physically stand to go into next week with the same team that disappointed me. Something has to change. It may be a transfer, it may be two, it may be three, but something has to change. Yeah. And I'm feeling that way a little bit myself. Although honestly, I don't quite know what I'm going to do yet. I've got five or six injured players, Brandon. So I need to figure out who's the most injured and who's the least.
So we've got plenty more than 10 seasons of fantasy under our belt, and we can often fall back on conventional wisdom. And what I'm fearful of this season, Josh, is that conventional wisdom is totally out the window, or I've just become totally untethered from it. So the knee-jerk sort of becomes a viable strategy in this moment, in this season, because there is no conventional wisdom. It's like there is no strategy that seems to really be holding firm. Now, maybe because we were numb to the Haaland out strategy, we missed that boat, and it's sort of like all the helicopters came to save us, and we said, well, you know, a boat will be coming soon. Well, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I know the old Bible parable. I like you updated it with helicopters, but I think, the thing
it's
is,
Haaland did score. Come on.
Haaland did score 16 points last week. So I'm not sure the Haaland out thing was like a real, I'm still not totally convinced of the merits of that strategy. Although I respect it as a gamble. He scored 24 points in the game weeks 9 and 10. So, honestly, we don't really know, right? And so we have all these injured players, and as of the Sunday evening recording, we can't really say with any certainty who is going to. Oh, Brandon, if we miss out on our chance to see Haaland at Stamford Bridge on Sunday, that's going to be painful.
We joked about that.
We were like, "Don't get injured this week." Yeah,
yeah, because we saw the Manchester Derby in 2020 when we were last there, and De Bruyne, legendary player, GOAT. My favorite midfielder on the planet was injured, and I was really not pleased that we missed seeing De Bruyne in the flesh. And Haaland just is like a monster of a man. We've got to see him. But the Pep's comments after the match, the Bournemouth City match, were it was an ankle tweak. Haaland should be right for midweek. If not, probably the weekend. So at least Pep is comfortable saying in his comments after the match that it's not too serious. It was precautionary. However, another thing that we're trying to learn this season is how lies that lying liars tell, usually managers, about player injuries. Sven Botman, I'm looking at you, and Eddie Howe. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, as you said, we really don't know anything at this point.
We know nothing, John Snows. And I think the Matty Cash also has a, I think he has a, is it a shoulder injury? So he's flagged for this weekend. That could be a problem for many of us.
He's also just on Matty Cash and interrupting your injury flow there.
No, go ahead.
I've got a bigger problem with Matty Cash. Or I just don't think he's been up for it the last three game weeks that I've watched him. And it's like a Trent Alexander-Arnold sort of situation where he can't, if he's trying to attack, he can't defend. When he's trying to defend, he can't really defend. And then it kind of hinders his ability to attack. So Matty Cash for under Unai Emery is getting to this point where I feel like he kind of just doesn't exist on the pitch. He's like a jack of all trades and a master of none. Yeah. I am really targeting to get him out regardless of his fitness.
I know he's going to end up being a short-term play, I think, for me as well. I gambled and it didn't come to pass. I mean, he's got two good fixtures in the next three. So it's Fulham. He actually has Spurs away in 13. And so honestly, if he was out, if he's out for this weekend, I will probably just drop him this weekend, and I'll literally have him for one game week
where he
played 58 minutes and he got subbed and scored 0 points. It'd be like the perfect run. You know what? It's like the reverse of when you've owned Ollie Watkins for every single game week this season, except the one game week he scored 23 points.
Nailed
for
it.
That kind of season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess at some point it is getting kind of funny. I don't really know. I mean, I don't plan to quit playing. Like, it's still
okay,
fun.
Yeah, good.
No, I just mean, like, it's like, at some point it's like, okay, like, what are you going to, like, what's the point of getting upset, right?
So on that point, yes, it is what it is. Yep. I felt like the Sunday matches for me personally were the perfect antidote to Saturday, both football wise and fantasy wise. So there was the fantasy disaster that was Saturday. There was also the Newcastle Arsenal match where there was the VAR controversy and everyone was just kind of like, what is this league? What's going on? The Forest Villa match, then the Luton Liverpool match. I thought both of those matches were so fun and interesting, and narratives of not teams getting beaten, but teams beating the other team. Forest just came out and executed a plan against Villa. Luton, Luton getting the draw against Liverpool was a matter of Luton playing so well and making that match really competitive and fun. It was not at all a matter of Liverpool beating themselves or anything like that. And even the fireworks over Kenilworth Road, adding to the atmosphere. Wow, brilliant, brilliant Sunday. I don't want that to be overshadowed. So at least we had some football, right?
I like that. And I think that that's a very positive note to end this opening segment on. So let's end it right there, Brandon. And I want to say the theme of this week's pod, and basically we're going to look at game week 12, look a little bit at the fixtures after that. But game week 12 is the final game week before, you guessed it, Brandon, another international break coming after this weekend. It always feels like one too many, doesn't it?
Yes.
But this is the last one for a good long stretch. I think the next one is like late February, early March, something like that. So yeah, one more break, one more chance to see your...
Many children learned how to counting international breaks. It's like
counting four blocks of four, Brandon, blocks of four. So this one felt like it went by especially quickly. I don't know about you. Yeah. It feels like, But anyway, so we got, we're mostly looking at game week 12. I think there's a lot of decisions to be made. I want to talk a little bit more about, we got at this a little bit, but someone asked a question about the signal and the noise, you know, like what do we believe, you know, have we drawn any conclusions by the last couple of weeks, or do we feel like there's just a lot of randomness involved? I certainly when it comes to like Salah, Haaland, that feels like a bit of, you know, just a little fluky. Whereas like, you know, sort of talk about Matty Cash a little bit, maybe there is something there that we need to be, even beyond the injury, be worried about. But I do first, Brandon, want to remind everybody that we are going to England. We're going to be in the UK from, I realize England and the UK are two different things, but we're going to be within the UK in England. we're going to be in London. We're staying in the London Bridge area.
Really drilling down geographically here, Josh. I love it.
I'm painting, before you interrupted me, I was painting a beautiful, beautiful visual. So we touch down. Should we give everybody our flight number? No. Track our flight. It's like that yacht tracker that they do. It's not yacht, but like, there's like an app where you can, it's like you can, like when Elon Musk goes on like a private jet, you can like track his, you know, where he is and where it takes off. And
sounds great. Know,
we
should be on that. Like that. For sure.
Yeah, we should be on that for sure. So, Thursday we're going to see three matches in 4 days. Thursday we are going to see West Ham. They host Galatasaray in the evening.
Olympiacos.
Of course. I'm sorry. Jeez, Galatasaray. Come on. They're hosting Olympiacos, it's an evening Europa League match. I'm really looking forward to that. Cool to see Olympiacos as well. It's kind of fun. And then Friday we have our meetup at Belushi's. It's in the London Bridge area. So very convenient for us. I have no idea if it's convenient for anybody listening, but, we hope to see you there. And I also, you know, we've said this every time. This is our third time going to the UK for one of these trips. And I think it's really important to say this because, if you are a listener of the pod and you don't really have anybody else who listens to the pod, you don't really have any like people that you know, and you're just sort of like listening in England, you know, just sort of by yourself, and you're like, do I want to come to this? Is this going to be like a clubby sort of thing where everybody knows each other? No. Every time we've done this, we have met people who are in exactly that boat where they're like, I just enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd come out and say hello. And those are the people we really hit it off with at these events as well. So if you are around, and it's all free. So just, if you want to just come and have one drink, or not even, you know, have a glass of water, whatever, just come say hi. And
one chicken finger.
Yeah, one chicken finger and you're out. That's fine. But if you want to come say hi to us, I believe it kicks off at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. And then that's Friday, November 10th at the Dugout at Belushi's London Bridge. So that's on 161, 165 Borough High Street. Just Google Belushi's London Bridge. It'll take you right there. It should be very convenient to the London Bridge area. Metro stations, tube stations, whatever you want to call them. And we're gonna be there just hanging out casually, having drinks.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking to the game week 12 deadline. So if you got a problem you want to solve, come solve it in person, live.
I think the last two times we've done meetups, the deadline had already hit. And so I think this is the first time we can hang out and actually talk about the game week before it happens. So that'll be kind of fun. So that's Friday night. Once again, free, the Dugout at Belushi's near London Bridge. Saturday, we are going to Selhurst Park. We're going to watch Crystal Palace host Everton. You are now going to have a player in that match unless he gets injured as well. You know, who knows? But let's hope so. are you going to start? You got to start Gaethje for that match, right? Hosting Everton?
I will absolutely start Gaethje. And I am looking at JWP to Eze just to give me a little extra sweat.
Just be a little, for that game. Okay, I like it. So I'm going the other way, where knowing that I that
you're getting the players out.
I don't like to have a single player. Yeah, if possible, I would transfer Haaland and Alvarez out before this. Yeah. I don't like the sweat is too much for me. It stresses me out.
Floppy is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sunday, we are going to Stamford Bridge, and we're going to watch Chelsea host Man City. So it's the final game week to end the, like, you know, before the international break. It's the final match on Sunday. We're going to be, I think, in like, we've got pretty good seats. So keep your eye out for the cheaters. We're going to have poppies. You've secured some poppies.
I've secured
for us,
the poppies, so we'll be there. Yes.
Yeah, we'll be all poppied up. And I think we're going to try to dress a little nicer than we normally would. Brendan usually looks like hot garbage, and so this is a chance for you to, you know,
literally like a plastic garbage bag with armholes cut out
like
of it.
I'm watching you right now. You're actually recording this shirtless, but normally you record with a garbage bag that you've
the heat's blasting in my apartment right now. I have no idea why. It's very hot.
So that's our trip, and then we'll head back after that. So we hope to meet some of you over the next few days. Really looking forward to it. And just, you know, one quick note, because we have been talking about the UK trip with some of our friends on the Discord. If you want to say thank you to the cheaters, if you want to, you know, I don't know, just like I thought the match day chat was really, there was a lot of gallows humor this weekend. A lot of people also, there was a great thread where I was being made fun of for saying that people say 10 November in the UK, which apparently no one has ever said in history. They all say the 10th of November,
which is an
incredible number of words and consonants. But, you know, I think that's fine. You know, if you don't want to say November 10th,
don't do it.
Yeah, you know, I don't really get it, but you know, there's, you can do it the other way and say 10th of November, Brandon. That's
no judges, fine. Yeah.
No judges. But anyway, if you want to, now that I've insulted everybody, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, and we'll do an extra podcast. We do an extra podcast each week, we'll do some kind of trip diary for sure. We did this last time, I remember, Brandon, where we kind of took some photos. We did a couple like short audio bursts as well. So we'll do something. I'm certainly going to bring my microphone with me to do some stuff.
Our Airbnb review is going to pass through our Patreon supporters before it gets to airbnb.com. If you want to weigh in on what we should rate our Airbnb, definitely subscribe.
I guess I'm sort of throwing our head over the fence here a little bit, but I think we can promise some level of travel.
I love that any chance we get to freshen up our podcast marriage, Josh, let's take that opportunity. Podcast sparks are gonna fly.
We got a place with more space this time, so you and I can like, we can get a ruler and figure out what the most extreme opposite corners of the place we're staying. Anyway, so thank you to all of our newest Patreon supporters. We have five just this week. So it's always nice, Brent. Sometimes it slows down when you get into the season. But thank you to Anders R., Damian Bird, Adam White, Jacek, and Odor Sigur Jansson, which someone was, there was one of our newest Patreon supporters, said, my name often gets mangled, but it was never mangled quite as badly as you did on the last week's pod. So thank you to everybody who can sit through my pronunciations. All right, Brandon, let's take a break and look ahead to Game Week 12.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Brent, we're back. Game Week 12 kicks off on Saturday, 11th of November, and we've got Wolves hosting Spurs. Interesting match. I already deeply regret going cash over Poro, although, you know, again, let's not look backwards, Brandon. Let's look for maybe I'll just move. Maybe I'll just move right to Poro this weekend. I don't know. Who knows, right? The world is my oyster. Brandon.
Would you do it on the pod right now for me if I asked you?
No, I would not. I mean, if Cash is healthy, I do like him for that Fulham match. I think that's a good, it's a good match for him.
Yeah, I think there are going to be a few blood sacrifices in game week 12, namely Arsenal, probably just flaying Burnley. So condolences to Burnley supporters, but I could see, I could definitely see Villa just absolutely destroying Fulham as well.
Yeah, that actually is maybe the obvious transfer this week would be to, you know, let's see what happens with Dan Byrne. But if he's, because he's not just, he's the full 50% flagged. I feel like if you're 50% flagged, that's trouble, right? 75 could mean anything, but 50 or 25, those are deadly, right? It might as well be out. So I could look at an Arsenal defender for sure for that Burnley match. Have we settled? I mean, I don't want to get into super into the Saliba weeds right off the bat here. It would have to be Saliba, right? He's 5'2" though. It's pricey. I mean, you can't move Byrne to Saliba like easily, right?
No.
And I guess
David Raya has been. I vouched for him maybe a week or two ago, and
oof, you regret it.
Woof. He's been. Yeah. He's not been good.
It's a tricky thing. I guess Zinchenko would be an option. That's one thing you could consider.
Maybe, but that seems risky. He didn't start against Newcastle.
That's true. Yeah. What am I saying? Yeah. They're all Gabriel. You can't play. Of course, he's unplayable, right? Because
you're blocked. He's banned.
He's liable to get dropped at any mm-hmm. at moment's notice. Ben White is quite expensive, so tricky to get to. Mm-hmm. And so it's really. It's Saliba or nothing. He's really the only option that you would really consider. Yep. Gosh, it's tricky. And Odegaard too. I mean, you've got Odegaard, right?
I mean, who can actually have Odegaard at this point would be my question to you.
I mean, he was until the minute you bought him, he was really mm-hmm. having a terrific season. And it's gone a little pear-shaped since then, Brandon.
So, kind of have to laugh, I suppose. So he has an issue with his hip, and it's day-to-day with him. You know, I kind of thought good going into the weekend because he came on for a substitution appearance in the League Cup match and scored an injury-time goal. And I'm like, great, fantastic. We got a plum fixture here on Saturday, and boom, he doesn't even make the match day squad, which gives you further concern. Given that they dropped points against Newcastle, is Arteta just too cute for his own good? Like, he's messing around with, I don't know. This is probably not a tree that needs barking up. And also, Arteta is going to be talked about mostly this week for him putting the PGMOL on blast. But
like, to a dangerous level, I was
can Arsenal just go win a bloody match and just go win? So I'm troubled by what's going on with Arsenal right now.
Okay. I do get this, and I'll use this as an opportunity to fold in a question here. Cause there was one about Boston Prof says, you know, how essential is it to get Arsenal assets for the run? But he says, I don't have any, I'm not sure even I want Saka over some other mids. And I do think that going up to Newcastle, you know, big match, right? Evening match, or certainly late in the day. That's a really tricky place to play. A lot of very good clubs go to Newcastle and lose. So I don't think it's. I mean, the fact that they didn't look like it was not a very inspiring performance is obviously an issue. But they have. I mean, it's their first loss of the season. So I don't know that like we should be like totally going over the top here with Arteta. I think he's actually done a pretty good job all in all.
This is not an Arteta out podcast. I think he's a great manager and long may he reign at Arsenal. But you hit it there. What did we learn about Arsenal in that Newcastle match?
Yeah,
fair enough. Going to St. James Park with the team flying like Newcastle are. Who knows what the result will be? My main issue with Arsenal in that match was I saw zero from them apart from the continued comedy that is Kai Havertz. Saka was completely invisible during that match, which, you know, if a team with the ambitions that Arsenal has and your star winger is going to just recede into the background, huge problem, major problem. So, I wonder how much of that has to do with them missing Odegaard's presence in the midfield and the fact that they still haven't. What I was thinking watching that match was Joe Linton was incredible during that match. And it reminded me of Xhaka having his inspired season under Arteta last season. And like, if Joe Linton could just switch to Arsenal, those transformative midfielders, and you got to give a lot of credit to Eddie Howe here for what he's done with Joe Linton.
Yeah.
That is what Arsenal, I think, are really missing right now, is a true battler in the midfield.
Yeah. And I think they thought they had it, right? Oh, which, I think you and I were not hugely enthusiastic about the Havertz move. I'd be surprised if you could go back and roll the tape and find us ever saying a single, possibly since he moved, since he moved from the Bundesliga. I'm not sure we've ever been hugely enthusiastic about Kai Havertz. But yeah, I mean, this idea that like this kind of somewhat ineffectual forward was going to get moved back into the midfield, where he was going to just turn in, like, you know, basically turn into a player we hadn't really ever seen. And, sure, you know, in his time in the Premier League, it was always a little fanciful, maybe, or like wishful thinking.
Totally. And you look at Manchester City, who are kind of like the height of sort of continental football in the Premier League. And even so, under Pep, in the last 10 years, you have total battlers like Fabinho and now Rodri. Now, Declan Rice can certainly be that player
for Arsenal.
I wonder if Declan Rice is just like, he's got too many jobs in that midfield at the moment. I'm not sophisticated enough to fully understand that, but they're missing something.
And the injuries are really a problem, I think, too. I mean, I was just looking at their squad a minute ago. I mean, you have Timber going out. Honestly, that's been a problem as well. And I think that really would have been helpful, especially with Zinchenko being kind of, you know, in and out. And maybe he would have, I think that, Martinelli has had some issues. He has not, unfortunately, had a great start to the season either. Right. Gabriel Jesus has really struggled with his health. Thomas Partey being out too. I think that's, you know, they had something going kind of at the start of the season, right? When they were sort of rolling off some wins, and they had
Partey and the Gabriel position.
Yeah, exactly. And that was actually, well, yeah, I mean, I guess he was
They're
sort
not
of,
really
was
he, that his
well, he was
position,
playing as but... a, he was playing as a right back, right? And that's then he had Ben White as a back in the center back role.
That's right.
Although Ben White's honestly been great as a right back too. So again, I don't want to like totally get on them, but to bring it back to fantasy, it's like, you sort of look at the Odegaard situation and Martinelli struggling a little bit. And the worry with him always too, is that, well, if he's, all it takes is him not having a bad match or two, and maybe Trossard gets a run, right? And so you can't totally trust him anymore, fantasy wise. And then so you're kind of left with Saka, who, I mean, I'm sure he'll do very well this weekend. But as we talked about in other pods recently, it's very hard to have Saka and kind of all of these other options. Like, it's just very hard right now, as of this recording, to say, yes, you should be dropping someone like Son or Madison for Saka. That just does not seem
like
the
only takeaway coming out of game week 11, Josh, is you should have Son and or Madison.
Are they benefiting from having not played yet? Because 100%. Everyone has been bad this weekend. So
yes.
So don't play at all, and then we can hope. You know, the hope springs eternal, Brandon. So it should be an interesting match tomorrow. But anyway, okay. So let's stay on Arsenal for one more second here. I think that Nketiah is, I mean, he's cheap. I don't know. I mean, let's say Haaland. It came to pass that Erling Haaland was confirmed out this weekend. Confirmed out. Would you consider, possibly as a short-term play, dropping Haaland for Nketiah? Is that too crazy, too extreme?
I'll note that
Haaland is, he's 14 million. So he is exactly at his starting price. So he is not, which is obviously an insane price, but it's not like you'd have this like horrible, you know, dilemma where, oh, he started at 12 and now he's at 13.2 or whatever. He's literally at the price he started at, because his ownership was so high at the start of the season.
It's confession time, Josh. So step into my little dark room here, and let me tell you a little story about a man watching Luton Liverpool and a man thinking Darwin Nunez so bad for me, but he could be so good. Oh, so good. Watching that match, I was just like, I know this Darwin. I've seen this before. Where have I seen this before? Oh, the entirety of last season, I have seen this version of Darwin. And yet I still find him so irresistible. Well, so I feel like I'd go for Darwin over Nketiah.
Well, that's, I don't know that I can, I don't
You're
know
not
if
a
I'm
bad
with
boy
you
like
on
me
that one. Yeah, I'm not. I think I would rather go in Kedia, just because I think Burnley are really quite poor and
crummy even.
And Arsenal have a nice little run. I mean, Gabriel Jesus is going to be back at some point, in early December maybe. So there's a chance that, but actually, I think maybe that's fine, because if I dropped Haaland, I wouldn't be dropping him for long term anyway. And like you said, he's probably fine. So this is just a sort of theoretical conversation. I think the Alvarez question is maybe one we have to start talking about a little bit more, because it has been a frustrating couple of weeks for him. And I was kind of surprised in the Bournemouth match yesterday. I thought that he was getting out-muscled in the box a lot. Like, there were a couple times when he had the ball and an defender just kind of stood in front of him and he was like, I guess you can have the ball then, you know, sort of like, all right, you can take it back. I don't want to run through traffic. You can see why someone like Haaland is so, obviously Haaland is just a gigantic man, right? But like, he's sort of, he loves to mix it up, right? It's crazy that he doesn't have some massive red card suspension under his belt, right? Because you could totally see him just throwing a punch at somebody at some point, right? He just loves to get up there, mix up. Whereas Alvarez, it feels like he's not, it feels like maybe he struggles with some of the more physical stuff. And I don't know. I mean, it's three blanks and four from him. He still only has one double digit return. This is just not a place I thought I would be, but I'm just starting to, I finally got there a little bit. I don't know. It's just, I mean, I guess it's just like, we're all getting there, right? It's like, how many, I can't have these weeks. Like, I can't just have weeks where all of the players on my team blank. And then I'm like, be patient, trust the process. I mean, I guess, so maybe we are in that kind of knee jerk territory that you're talking about. I kind of suspect that Alvarez will not end up moving, because again, I have five flagged players in my team and I'm most likely going to have to solve one of those problems first. I'm not going to move Haaland or Alvarez for a hit.
Well, let's pull at that Alvarez thread. You say, I can't have this. I can't have this blank, the blank situation from Alvarez. So therefore I'm going to get who is not also suffering from the Alvarez disease. That is blanks. Well, and Kedia and Darwin both blanked in game week 11.
That's true. That's true.
Do you move him to Archer and bench Archer and say the guys who are actually scoring goals get to be stuck on my bench forever?
I guess I was thinking of Nketiah just because of the great Burnley fixture. I mean, I don't see Nketiah as a great long-term option. Callum Wilson is an interesting option. I think that there's so much concern still about him and Isak rotating, but even so, he has seven goals on the season. He's 7.9 million. So you can get there. It's not like such an insane price. I mean, Darwin is just, I don't know. I mean, it's just so frustrating. Like he's just such a frustrating player. And I just feel like the second I got him, I would be itching to drop him. Because I would watch one of these matches where he blew chance after chance after chance. And I'm just not good. Like, I'm not good enough, at taking the emotion out of the game to watch these games and then be like, well, the XG is there. So I'm not going to worry about the fact that he can't hit the broadside of a barn. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just, the XG is there. And that's sort of what you have to kind of say when you have a player like Darwin. But maybe you're much colder than I am. Like, just sort of the way that you, it's got to move through the world. You have a kind of
detachment.
Darkness. Yeah, detachment. Ice cold. You're the Iceman. That's what we all call you. And so, you tell me, Iceman, you think you can, you can do it?
So this is what I'm trying to. We talked about knee jerk a little while ago and is up down this season where, I'm talking about Alvarez and, it's academically, it's there with Alvarez. It's not like he's missing matches. It's not like he's not starting. He's getting the minutes. He plays for the best team. Why can't you just stick it out and be patient with him? On the other hand, I am accepting that this season, chaos is reigning, where otherwise you'd say fixture chasing is just like a path to hell and disappointment. I wonder if now we just need to fixture chase. Now I just need to jump from dude to dude. So I get the argument, and I don't think it's an ill-advised one to just start dropping players here or there and chasing good ones. The only thing it seems that we've learned is that the bad teams are really bad. That's not even true anymore because Luton are good.
Yeah, there was someone had a question. I thought I dropped in the running order, but it doesn't matter. But it basically, Luton has at home been okay, so maybe I'm willing to soften on the target the Luton fixture when it's an away fixture. Mm-hmm. That they, you know, we did go match by match last week, and it hasn't been quite as honestly when we did that on the pod. That was one of the reasons I felt okay about going with Haaland over Salah. I was like, well, they haven't actually been like destroyed at home so far this season. They performed.
We made
well.
The right call, Josh.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm not here to argue about that. I mean, they scored 3 goals in the first half. He was like 70% to score in this match. Like it's, you know, it was, what did they score? 6 goals in the end, like without breaking 6-1, a sweat. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, I'm not here to worry about it. Yeah.
Absolutely destroyed Bournemouth single-handedly. They didn't need any other players.
Yeah,
on the
Renata, uh-huh. Renata asked about him. Renata says, "Where did Doku come from? Is he someone we should be looking at, or do we wait and see if he stays good and stays in the lineup?" I'm willing to say he's going to stay good at the very least. The good will stay.
100%. And if you watch Grealish, Grealish had a great season last season as far as like the number of trophies that he won, but our man Grealish struggles for fantasy points. Yep. So that's out of the picture. It's clear that Pep has seen something in Doku, and Doku on the left instead of Grealish has transformed the attack.
Yeah.
And when you have a focal point like Haaland, where it's just like put all the guys in Haaland and block Grealish cutting into the right, now you have somebody as dynamic as Doku. It's genius.
Yeah.
And
he was so good. I was really impressed. He's a really fun player to watch. It's just really fun to watch a pacey winger, and he's got like an aggression to his game too, right? It's like he really wants to get into the box, and it's just sort of like fun. He's not hugging the touchline, right? He's I don't know. It's just sort of fun to watch him play.
Yeah, he seems to be really good at take-ons, and the pass to I think it was the final goal that Bernardo Silva scored was incredible. So he's the full package. I mean, is this different than Phil Foden, where like Doku is going to be like he's going to start 2 out of every 3 matches? I don't know. I'm not ready to start building my transfer policy around getting Doku in.
No,
he's not going to replicate that performance. Like Bournemouth are abject and bad.
Sometimes a player just has a really great match and performs really well, and you still don't want to have him in fantasy. And I think that's kind of where I am with Doku, right? Because he started, it looks like 3 of the last 6. I guess maybe he started 4 of 7, but he got subbed at the 51st minute in one of those. So, you know, it's like he's not really consistent. And he's actually blanked in 4 of his last 6 as well. And and outside of this remarkable performance, it was just 1 assist, right? It was 1 assist wrapped around 4 blanks. So, I think he's a really fun player to watch, and he's cheap. So, I mean, if you want to just like kind of jump on a form player just for fun, I don't mind it. I actually don't even mind the Chelsea match. I in some ways I think that having these matches where the other team is also trying to win can be really good from a fantasy perspective for these players, right? It's sort of, especially a team like Chelsea. I mean, like the Newcastle match, I did think, I mean, and to be honest, like I, you know, 1-0 was just not what I was expecting. Both teams to score, like both teams were heavily, heavily favored to score in this match. It was, you know, a 1-0 either way was a very unlikely result. So, I think that, you know, going away to Man City, going away to Chelsea, I mean, they're going to score like a minimum of 2 goals in that match, I would assume.
It could be fun, that match, for sure. Yeah, I'm
you
with
think
you.
They'll
Doku
find joy.
Doku is the make fantasy fun again pick for sure. Speaking of 1-0 matches, that was the angriest I was all weekend. Was I had my, you know, it was a deeply upsetting goal on like many cosmic levels. The Bruno for Manchester United goal. But I had my Leno in my little fantasy squad with his,
I know,
his three bonus points and everything. And the number of times Fulham had to clear that ball, I could have definitely, like, yeah, it's all fun and games to say, oh, punch my TV, throw my TV out the window. I wonder, like, if I could do, like, a The Boys style, just like punch all right through the TV. Just punch right through it.
Did you, was your wife home?
I was alone. I was alone. I have a very small apartment, but I did go into, all the rooms in my very small apartment, saying some very, very awful things.
It's a great question. When did you feel the worst this week? And I think Dan Burn getting subbed at halftime was a real tough one because Trippier is so highly owned. I don't know, having my squad. And I was like, oh my God, if they keep a clean sheet now, I'm totally screwed. Flecken going off at halftime was just funny because
it's Flecken.
It's Flecken. And I, of course, I benched him for his two consecutive clean sheets and then started him, but he got, you know, 0 points.
Sure.
I think the most annoyed I was actually with was when I made my one transfer this week. I debated it. I literally was like, it was like midnight when I finally decided, because, you know, in the US you really have to decide what you're going to do, you know, before you go to sleep, because it's sure. just very
quality of life choice.
It's a quality of life choice. And even, you know, I guess if there was like a huge decision hanging on that early match, I might set an alarm for like 5:55 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But typically I'm like, I'm just going to set it and be done with it. But yeah, I decided like right at the last minute. And then, so, you know, for them to concede 5 minutes into the match, I was just like, well, I'm not even going to watch this. You know, just, you know, that the moment you're like, I don't even care anymore. Sure. And so that really, that one was kind of a stinger. All right, let's go. Let's talk about Haaland quickly here, Brandon. Mm-hmm. We talked about him a little bit already, and I kind of got at why I wouldn't, if he's healthy, I wouldn't drop him. And but FPL SWAT said, regardless of potential injury, is it time to spread the Haaland funds? And then he showed a screenshot of Chelsea at home, Liverpool at home, Spurs at home, Villa away, and the next four. About as bad a four, like, you know, if you threw like a Newcastle away match in there, that'd be about as bad a run of five fixtures you're going to get. But my perspective, and, you know, let me know if you disagree here.
Please go. Give me your shot.
Yeah. Well, I just your feel cake. Like, it's the kind of the only time anymore when Haaland isn't completely clogged out in the box is when they play a team that also feels like they've got a chance to win the match. Right. And then you get a chance for Haaland to get the ball on the, I mean, it's not usual that he gets the ball on the break, right. But it's that somebody gets the ball on the break and Haaland gets like a little bit of space. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's so dangerous. I mean, how many times have we seen Haaland, you know, one-on-one or one-on-two with a couple of defenders, and that's just when he, you know, just really shines. And so so difficult fixtures to me are not a problem at all when it comes to, mm-hmm, Haaland. I see those as almost good opportunities. Sometimes I get nervous in these other matches where, I mean, I guess like maybe less with Man City because they always seem to kind of find a way. But yeah, sometimes when you know when you've got that home match against the team that just really isn't very good, you're like, oh, are they just going to pack the box for the next 80 minutes and we're just going to have to like,
yeah,
hope for a penalty? Like that's the solace sometimes, right? Where you're like, well, like the only way out of this one is a pen. There's kind of, you know, kind of no other choice here. The Liverpool Everton match was exactly that, yeah, right?
I have in my head that if Haaland is out for game week 12, that I will 100% sell him. But let's play that out. What if I do, mm-hmm, that? If I sell Haaland, the great benefit is I have all this cash to spread around my squad and I'm going to upgrade to at least two positions. Money is going to be hard to get back, meaning I'm really going to struggle to get Haaland back in my fantasy squad unless I wild card or take hits. And I do not find that super appealing. I don't think there is, you know, I feel like one of the themes right now is you can't really depend on any assets right now.
Yeah.
So to say, I'm going to take a flyer on this guy for 1 or 2 weeks and then I'll get Haaland back. What really is the upside? You're kind of going to have to not get lucky. But
okay. I've got a possible move here. This is something that you could consider that I would consider as well. We both have Alvarez. The move could be Haaland to Nketiah, And then you could move Holland back, but you can go Alvarez to Holland, right? And because Alvarez is 1.2 million more, something like that, than Nketiah is, you can move some of that money around. But not all. I mean, you basically would free up a million there, right? And so that, but then the move would be to go from Alvarez back to Holland. So anyway, that's just one mm-hmm. possible way to think about it a little bit. You would free up some cash, but I mean, obviously, you're never gonna, unless the move is to instantly go back to Holland, you're never gonna have like 8 million in reserve, right? His 14 yeah. million price is so insane compared to everything else.
It seems complicated. I do think if you go Holland out, my feeling right now is you just have to go all in on that strategy. And to a degree, I think it's there. It's there to be had. I think there are enough mm-hmm. midfielders and other auxiliary forwards, you know, occasionally scoring enough. It's just yep. so game week to game week right now. But you have to be ready to just accept that you don't have him. Am I coded enough here in that I'm signaling that I'm too scared to actually do this and given Pep's comments?
Let's see. If he's at full health, I'm not going to do it either.
There are things I want, Josh, like mm-hmm. Spurs midfield that I said farewell to, and I said I'll never like welcome them back. No, it was a very kind and good natured farewell. I hope to work yeah. with them again someday. I'd love to get those yeah, guys back, true. And that would be
Spurs
so.
Yeah, again, they just continue to benefit from not having. Yeah, when they lose 2-1 to Chelsea tomorrow, and the one goal is like a an own goal or something like
maybe.
That, it's gonna feel very different. Let's see.
It's a vibe season though, Josh. Vibes FC, and look at all these clubs. There are vibes are sort of like weird at best at most of these clubs, except for Spurs. Spurs are winning the vibes race. The title chase for vibes is on.
Speaking of vibes, FPL Brooklyn says, has Watkins lost his form? Says he's missed two sitters in the last 2 weeks. Are we softening or hardening? I don't know, whatever the right expression is there. How do we feel about Ollie Watkins now?
Watkins never had form. Like, I don't get that. Like, he yeah. was just kind of benefiting from a team that was in form, and he had this insane match that, you know, Doku's going to have, that Son's going to have, that Holland's going to have, and Nketiah is going to have. They're all having them. And it just turned out Holland's number was up in whatever game week that was. I think, and I'm not trying to fade Watkins. I think he's still a fantasy pick, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I this is the player he is. So, yeah. you know, if you don't like what you see, I don't think anything's necessarily changed with him.
I actually think I think it's a total non-issue. The two blanks. I mean, it's just sort of, it's just an annoyance, but not anything that, I mean, again, when we talk about like forwards that we can move Holland to, there's basically nobody. I mean, right. It's like, they're all like really flawed. and Watkins is so consistent that's, you know, there's just really no reason to even like mm-hmm. worry about him. I actually think that he's a sneaky, decent, captain pick for game
week
12.
He's my vice right now.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think, and if you wanted to be a little different than Holland at full health will certainly have some captains. I think that Salah, Brentford at home will probably be the most captain player this week.
Yep.
Which I think is a reasonable, very reasonable pick, especially if, Fleckens, is it even bad if Fleckens out? I don't really know. I feel like I've never seen him do anything good.
He's not a good keeper, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know Brentford well enough to say, but it always seems like Strakosha plays well when he comes in, right? I thought he played really well in the Man United match.
He got done dirty in that Man United match for sure, because he played really well and just fluked yeah. McTominay.
Yeah, so I think that Watkins at home to Fulham is a great captain pick, and I'm kind of kicking it around a little bit. I don't know, it just sort of depends. I mean, I also think I have a little too much recency bias with that Luton match, my thinking there would be I think Salah is an excellent captain pick too. I'll probably end up captaining Salah, but Ollie Watkins has two double digit returns this season. It's in two of the last three home fixtures for Aston Villa. They have just been excellent at home, mm-hmm. and he's He's very rarely substituted, so he's going to get a lot of minutes in these matches. And I don't know. I just feel like and Fulham are, I mean, they're okay. I don't know. I mean, what are your takeaways? And obviously, it's a really brutal to lose to lose a match, 1-0 in the 91st minute. But were you impressed with how they played overall? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that they're just soundly organized, and Willian had a particularly good match, which was great. And Pereira in the midfield was also fine.
Yeah.
Their defense is weird. Calvin Basie, who's now playing alongside Tim Ream in the center back position, is every time he plays out of the back, he gives the ball away. So if you're a team that has really canny operators like Douglas Luiz in the midfield, I think they, like Fulham, are going to find it a lot more difficult to play out of the back as opposed to a sort of a lazier team like Manchester United as they are now. So Fulham, I said this, I feel like a month or so ago, where like we don't have to talk about Fulham ever in a fantasy conversation, because they're a weird, like this season, they're not going to achieve anything, nor are they going to lose anything. They're just going to be weird obstacles in the way of everything.
I guess I was thinking in the context of whether we think they're going to put up a big fight against Villa or, lose 3-0 or something like that.
I think you're right to call out Villa's home form, and Fulham can, once those dominoes start falling, I guess, Fulham can concede 2 or 3 goals easily.
Yeah.
So I think therefore I like Villa in this match, honestly.
All right,
because like Fulham just don't sit deep. They play a little bit more expansively. So Aston Villa, if they play their game, they should definitely score 2 to 3 goals.
Yeah, I guess that's the thinking. Is like, and that's one of the reasons I'm sort of intrigued by the Watkins captaincy, because you can just see him latching onto a loose ball. Right. Yeah. And just sort of, exactly. Either he gets it himself or he plays somebody in, or it's very easy to see a scenario where he gets a goal and assist in that match. All right. So that's one final question here, Brandon. It's from Scott Simpson. He says, who are the teams to target for the rest of November going to the busy part of the season? And he also says, also, thank you for making my 6 a.m. cycle to work and the snow in Finland much more enjoyable every Monday. Now, Brandon, rule of thumb, it's probably true of all podcasts, but a little thank you note, little bit of flattery goes a long way. Often gets your question on the pod. So thank you, Scott, for that nice note. Teams to target for the rest of November and going into the busy part of the season. Now, of course, we have just the one fixture, and then we have an international break, and then we've got a bunch of matches. And I think we have our first round of midweek Premier League matches coming. I believe it's in game week 14. So it's like December 2nd, 3rd, 4th, something like that. I guess actually it's a couple of days after that. So maybe it's like the 5th, 6th, and 7th. So that's coming around the corner here too. And a handful of teams that have a really nice run of fixtures, a handful that have poor fixtures. Brighton have an excellent run of fixtures coming out, Brandon. And they can't, they cannot keep clean sheets. And that's just always going to be the case with them. It's just, there's kind of no one you could even really have, right? With the Stupinan and Veltman, like, he's tempting because he's so cheap, but he's very dangerous. Like, you look at his, like, the minutes played, he's just always going to be a risk. It's just like, it feels like a recipe for a disaster to bring him in. And you could kind of, you could go a dunk, but is it really worth spending, 5 million on a Brighton defender when
a worldie that he scored on Saturday only to be ruled off. Very brutal.
And it was such a tight call too. It's just I read something about the VAR decision for the Newcastle goal. They checked for 3 different things, like on the review. They're like literally 3 separate things part of it. And I was like, this is, at some point it feels like,
maybe just don't check.
Listen, maybe just don't check. It's just like, I mean, I don't even want to get into the legitimacy of the goal. I don't want to wade into that at all because I just don't want to talk about it. But like, it's at some point, it's like, are they looking for ways to like eliminate goals? It almost feels that way sometimes. Like they're trying a little too hard to drop goals. At some point, it's like
totally.
It just makes people angrier when they do this.
We were talking a little bit about real life work before we started podcasting, and the idea of you putting your work out there to your internal colleagues, for approval. And other people feel like they're not doing their job unless they send you like critical feedback in return. Like, well, I got to point something out. I can't just say, looks great.
Got to justify my, you asking me.
So I feel like VAR is doing a little bit of that at the moment. Like, well, you know, I'll just give you a little bit of constructive feedback on how this goal worked out. Take it or leave it.
It's just crazy that we're this far into the VAR era now. And this has got to be, I think it's probably the worst season for VAR so far, at least in terms of like fan frustration.
Sure.
But anyway,
it's
all right.
Even worse.
Yeah, it feels that way, unfortunately. So you have Brighton. So maybe Matoma. I mean, unfortunately, the up front, this Ferguson, Pedro, et cetera, who's going to play is probably never going to get resolved. And so I just would not have either one. I wouldn't even try to resolve that.
Brighton's league form, by the way, is terrible. They have not won a game since Bournemouth at home September 24th.
What is it? One draw and three losses, something like that.
Yeah.
In the last four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not great, Bob.
It's not great. And they've had a tough run, but still, I think it's, you know, Sheffield, Forest, Brentford, Burnley, 3 out of 5 of those at home over the next few matches. So they're, you know, certainly I think Matoma should be in the conversation for transfer options. And West Ham, I don't know. They feel like a stay away from me right now, even though they've got a nice run of fixtures. Your boys at Crystal Palace, Brandon, they've got a nice little run. So I like the Eze pick. I mean, he came on as a sub 66 minutes, something like that.
Our friend Danny Bean, Josh, reached out Friday night and he asked me for some sensible advice. I gave him some sensible advice and he said, forget it. I'm just bringing in Eze. I told him, I told him what I thought about that pretty pointedly. And, and of course, Eze comes on and gets an attacking return. So joke's on me. Danny's the goat.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe. Yeah. Are we overthinking this? Is maybe the theme of this season?
Yeah. Everyone stop thinking about it.
A couple teams that have some tough runs. Chelsea, they've had a nice run for a while. It kind of comes to an end over the next few weeks. Man City, Newcastle, Man United. Even a win at Everton, I feel like, is starting to get to be a slightly trickier fixture. You know, they've kind of righted the ship a little bit there. And
they're like
I know
12th
it's like
place now.
I know
no,
it's like
in, they're in the 16th place now, but they're fine.
Are they
16th? Well.
It feels better than that somehow. It does, doesn't it? I suppose it sort of depends on where you do the cutoff here. Villa are kind of down there as well. Mostly the next, I mean, I guess it is kind of tricky. They play Spurs away and they host Man City and Arsenal as well, but they do host Man City and Arsenal. And I think from a defending perspective, sure, maybe it's time to drop cash, but I certainly will not be dropping Ollie Watkins despite the bad run of fixtures.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, going for positivity with attacking assets,
yes.
I think is yep. the way to go. And Mbomo, somebody who should be mentioned anytime somebody talks about Fantasy Premier League this season. He continues to do it. He's got some pretty rotten fixtures as well, but all we have right now in our lives is Mbomo. That's all we have. Yeah. He's the only consistent asset right now.
Yeah, and he's got a Luton Town fixture coming up soon, Brandon, as they
Tasty.
All do, of course. But, I mean, eventually someone is going to make hay of a Luton Town fixture, right? It happened early on in the season. Like Raheem Sterling had his one great week against Luton Town. It wasn't a thing that was happening. All right, so that is, I think we can kind of wrap things up here. Some final thoughts. I talked about captaincy a little bit. Haaland, Salah, Watkins. So I guess kind of the same three we've always been talking about. There's a part of me that really does want to go with Watkins, though, just to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It just seems kind of fun to go with him. It's like I can't see him not getting attack and return in that match. And I could see Brentford possibly giving Liverpool some trouble. So I guess that would be the one argument for Watkins over. I don't know. I think they're both good picks though, to be quite honest. What about you?
Yeah, I have Salah captain in my best team. Watkins vice for the same logic. The trick here is they both have home fixtures and Brentford, you just don't know what you're gonna get with them.
Yeah.
I mentioned this before. I wonder what the blood sacrifice ratio is going to be in game week 12, because a lot of teams like charge toward whether it's top of the table or top four. stuttered because of unexpected opposition, whether it's Liverpool Luton, whether it's Villa going to Forest, though no one should really go to Forest and expect an easy battle. So I by that logic, I'm wondering if Liverpool just say, sod it, we're going to actually put Brentford to the sword. And I think what, I mean, you've definitely had your issues with Brentford and Mbeumo, even as you've owned him through the good times. It's like sometimes Brentford can just look really quite poor. Yeah. And I think that team there, as good as they can be week to week, can also just be crushed. So,
especially away. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of these clubs, they're just so much better at home.
Yeah, right. So there, you play the home fixture, and that's another thing that rules Haaland out of the discussion. Now, Arsenal should be in this discussion, and they are in my blood sacrifice category. I think they will absolutely throttle Burnley. However, with the Odegaard injury and all of these players struggling for form, as we talked about earlier, I'm a little wary of pinning my hopes to one particular Arsenal player. Yeah. And I think Arsenal are good in that way, where you kind of just don't know who's going to pop up and be the hero. Is it going to be Reece Nelson this week? Maybe.
I think it also hurts Saka a little bit, just that if we'll see about Odegaard, but especially if he's out, right? Just with Martinelli not playing quite as well, with Odegaard possibly being out, it just, Saka can't kind of drift into great spaces quite as easily, right? Like, it's just like the strategy very clearly is to really closely mark Saka, don't give him a lot of space. Now, granted, that's kind of always true, but I think it's, you know, even more so when you don't have Odegaard there to like really punish you, right? If you kind of step off him, and that's obviously where Odegaard. I mean, I think if Odegaard's healthy, or like it looks like he's going to play this weekend, you probably have to just grit your teeth and keep him, right? Because
definitely,
it's an excellent fixture.
Yeah, if I look at my team in particular, who are the weak points? Who do I really want to drop? I would love to keep Odegaard if he's healthy. I would love to keep Haaland if he's healthy. I'd love to keep Cash. James Ward-Prowse is the guy who I would get the most satisfaction from dropping. Yeah. It's just like the West Ham gambit the last few weeks has been awful, unless you picked up Bowen, for sure. So I think Ward-Prowse to, whether it's Eze, whether it's Mitoma, I'm definitely open to a -4. Even a -8, honestly, I think just like I'm getting not a lot of excitement, I'm not getting a lot of feedback from my fantasy team right now. So I feel like it's time I put a little bit of myself into my team. I need to invest a little bit of my own external resources, i.e. points. Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense. I mean, I think especially if this season really feels like it's just gonna be a grind. Like if it's gonna be a grind and I'm gonna get no points no matter what happens, let me have players who I really want to root for,
and
do it my way, exactly. And anyway, so I think that makes sense. Well, that brings us to final thoughts here, Brandon, which is you know, who's got that dog in him? Who's the XDIH for you for game week 12? Brought to you by the Hidden Mysteries.
Yeah, the dog in him, I don't know. Is it Diogo Jota? He had a really good opportunity against Luton in the first half that he just didn't really hit it with enough. Well, he didn't place it with enough conviction. He hit it nicely enough. But there's, I feel like as good as Luton played, there's something about this Liverpool team that is undeniable and just how stacked it is going forward. And I think there's going to be an unlikely DIH player for Liverpool in game week 12. And I think it's Diogo Jota.
Maybe the big Szoboszlai.
It really, he really ties the team together, Josh.
He really does. All right. I don't like to normally go with a player this highly owned in fantasy. It feels like it undermines the spirit of this a little bit, but I think it's Ollie Watkins. I think that it's just hard for me to see a man of Watkins' vim and vigor, Brandon, held back for more than 3 weeks in a row. The idea of Watkins blanking for 3 weeks in a row feels insane, right? The universe would, we're not down at that Quark level, Brandon, where the universe starts breaking down and not making sense. We're here in the real world, solid oak, you know? And I think that, and Ollie Watkins doesn't have an ounce of fat on it. That man is carved out of oak, right? So let's go with Mr. Oak himself, Ollie Watkins. He's my XDIH.
Let's call him Charles Oakley from henceforth. Charles Oakley.
What a great name.
So good.
No one has ever looked more like a Charles Oakley. You know, I don't know. Like, he's such a, it's such a perfect name for him as a person. Yes. It's a great fit. Great name.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So in terms of one match this weekend that you want to watch, that you'd recommend to other people to watch if you could only watch one. Now, for us, this is a charge question because we're going to be there in person. We're going to see Palace Everton. We're going to see Chelsea Man City. So let's take those two matches off the table. Which match are you most excited about?
That's a good question. I think, well, I suppose Liverpool-Brentford is an interesting match because – Brentford really played well in the West Ham match. They, it was a good match. That was a fun match this weekend. And, it was an impressive win for them. And, just feels like they've kind of righted the ship. They had that kind of the dips in form that they typically have, and they sort of come out the other side. And I just think that they could, just because they're so well coached and they have so much real talent on that squad, doesn't like hit you like, you know, with big transfer fees, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just like you're like, wow, like they're like, they, you know, whatever. This player is like, who was, there was somebody who really impressed me in that match. And let me see if I can just very quickly here. Who was it that, oh yeah, Onyeka. I just thought Onyeka was really impressive in the Brentford match. And I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know that we sit around and talk about Frank Onyeka very much, but those are just kind of players that Brentford just seem to find, right? Yeah. Infrequently, certainly. So I think that I think Liverpool will win, but I think that could be a really fun and entertaining match.
You know, weirdly, I'm looking at West Ham Nottingham Forest as just on the scale of evenly matched teams, and I think Forest are in a really good form at the moment, and West Ham not so much, and that balances out having Forest have to go to the London Stadium, and you know, West Ham will have that home edge. I expect that to be a pretty competitive, maybe. You know, I hope it's well played, but you never know with these teams. I guess that's the risk you take with that shout out, is how much quality will be on display in the West Ham Forest match.
Listen, it's an unpredictable season, Brandon. We're just doing our best over here. So that is it. That's your pod. Thank you to everyone for listening. Once again, we hope to see you on Friday at Belushi's, at the Dugout specifically within Belushi's. This is the one down in the London Bridge area. I don't know. I don't know if there are more Belushi's there, but anyway, we're by London Bridge. That's the one you want to go to.
Yeah, you can't miss it. Again, it's 161, 165 Borough High Street. Kicking off at 7 p.m. at Belushi's, the Dugout, as Josh said. I cannot wait.
Yeah, same here. So thanks everyone for listening. If you're going into these matches we mentioned at the start of the pod too, let us know. I mean, we can try to, come say hey and meet you, I don't know, at the outdoor fan fest, Brandon. Like, let's, you know, see if we can make that happen.
We're going to be taking in some hospitality pre-match, but I think post-match, certainly if you know a good spot for us to go watch the subsequent kickoffs and have a beer, that sounds fun to me.
Exactly. And the West Ham one, we're just rolling up. I bought tickets literally from the club website, which I guess that's the move. People are always asking us, how do you get tickets? Get a Europa League match. Cause the West Ham was like, any seat you want. It was like, do you want to like sit like with the players, you know, in the dugout?
Somebody
like
on the Discord said, oh, you called the box office for a Europa League match. Their response was probably, when can you be here?
Yeah, exactly.
How soon can you get here?
Do you want to rent out the stadium?
we can put a movie up on the big screen for you if you'd like.
Yeah, exactly. So that'd be interesting. I'm very curious about the stadium though, the famous Olympic stadium. So all right, well, thanks everyone for listening. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Sure. Big thanks to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodol, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild, Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Volger, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, the Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Charlotte F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislav, Nolan Louise, Travis Grant, Julio Pena, Linus Vennerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Fro Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, and Ben Coombs. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us wherever you get your social media. And for all of this information, go to alwayscheating.com. Josh, I'll see you at JFK. Remember to bring your passport.
Yes. Yeah. And I've got to print out some of these tickets, too. Got to find a printer.
I love old-timey England. Yeah. Let's get more paper in the mix.
It's not all of them. Weirdly, it's like, anyway. All right. We need to go down that road again. But anyway, thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.